Hello and welcome to SearchOracle.com's Open World Podcast Series. This is SearchOracle.com news editor Mark Brunelli, and thank you for joining us today. A couple of weeks ago, SearchOracle.com's small army of news editors descended upon San Francisco for Oracle's gigantic Open World Conference. While there, SearchOracle.com news site editor Tim DeChara got a chance to sit down with database consultant Aaron Newman, who is also the author of the Oracle Security Handbook. During the interview, Newman gives his impressions of Open World this year. He talks about the typical problems and mistakes DBAs make when it comes to security, and he rates Oracle's patch management processes as compared to other major DBMS vendors. This is one interesting and informative interview, especially for those interested in learning more about Oracle security. So now, without further ado, here is SearchOracle.com's Tim DeChara and his interview with Oracle Security Handbook author Aaron Newman.
All right, well, I'm here with Aaron Newman of Application Security. Thanks, Aaron, for taking the time to chat with us today about Oracle Security. So what are your impressions so far of Open World this year? Do you think that it's getting too big to be useful?
I think it's definitely gotten too big. It's just the logistics is difficult to deal with all the people and getting lost in all the talks and such. So they're definitely pushing it to be even bigger next year. And they're even marketing it as bigger but more intimate. But I think it's gotten too big, and it's just getting lost in the shuffle. Everyone's getting lost in the shuffle. They now have two exhibition shows, so everybody's getting lost. It's too big now.
Oracle keeps acquiring companies. I guess it's bound to get bigger and bigger.
Yeah. Well, and they're even having the same issues with their IOUG, Independent Oracle User Group. They've taken three different conferences and made it one, and that's gotten too big as well. So it seems to be industry, the way the industry is going, and I don't think anyone really likes it that way, though, any of the conference attendees.
Well, your session is tomorrow, and it's called Oracle Forensics, Collecting Evidence After an Attack. You'll be discussing a methodology for what you call post-attack analytics. Could you talk a bit about the general outline of that methodology?
Okay, so what I'm really going to do tomorrow is go over really a set of, these are the type of things, if you get attacked, you have to understand how the attack could have occurred, be able to trace down how somebody broke in and got credit card numbers out of your database or personal information. So you have to understand the avenues of attack. So what we're going to talk about is what are the different avenues of attack, and for each avenue, how do I actually go in there and figure out, did somebody actually use this? What are the details? What are the fingerprints that are left behind for me to detect that? So for instance, if somebody did a buffer overflow, there are certain log files you look at to detect, did a buffer overflow occur? Which functions did they use to do that buffer overflow? If you had a SQL injection attack, where is it that you look? You know, you go look in the Apache log files to see that. So what we're going to do is really go over demos of each of the attacks, and then we're going to actually look at those files that are left behind and show people how to analyze that, what to look for in there, so that they can actually know how to do this themselves.
That makes sense. So you're also going to be arguing that improperly using some of the features of Oracle security products themselves can actually destroy the trail of the attacker. Can you describe a bit about what you mean by that?
What we mean by that is once an attack occurs, if you don't discover it or uncover it quick enough, you can often end up overwriting or losing some of that evidence. Take for instance, if I know an attack occurred last night, there's a good chance I may still be able to pull, even if I don't have auditing enabled, there's a chance I may be able to pull those malicious SQL statements or whatever happened out of areas of memory, out of this shared memory, the SGA. So I may still be able to pull things out of there. So once you discover that an attack has occurred, you have to do things in a certain order to make sure that you don't lose that data. So we're going to go over how to do that. Make sure you're taking a dump of the SGA before you do anything else. Then make sure you're taking this information out of the database. Make sure you're taking that out before you go rebooting it, things like that. So.
So what do you think about the overall state of Oracle security these days, given Oracle's record of acquisitions and new products such as Database Vault?
Well, see, there's two sides of security. There's Oracle security features. Oracle has enough security features to keep any security expert busy for the rest of their lives. Unfortunately, really, where I really spend more of my time is looking at how do attackers really get into a database? How did they break in? All the security features in the world don't stop the attacker if you don't understand how the attacker's coming at you. So setting up SSL doesn't help somebody from using a buffer overflow in your database. They're very different, you know, protections and attacks. So a lot of what I try to do is educate people about how these attacks really occur and try to make them understand how to use the technology Oracle provides to do that properly. Most of the time people are using, you know, they're like, okay, I'm using a secure protocol, so I don't have to worry about, you know, I don't have to worry about this type of attack. And you have to explain to them how this type of attack isn't stopped by encrypting your network protocol. So it's really educating people. In terms of dealing with vulnerabilities, Oracle continues to do a really bad job, actually. 101 vulnerabilities patched in the latest CPU, and it's not going to go down anytime soon. So they really still have a lot of work to do in that area. Security features, they have more than enough.
That was actually my next question. So yeah, so patching vulnerabilities is still a problem with Oracle.
It's a big problem, and really what's interesting is if you look at Oracle patches really take, at the minimum, 3 months to put in. If you talk to any DBA, they're not going to patch a system and get it running in less than 3 months. So now, CPUs come out quarterly, right? So now do the math. A CPU comes out today, all these exploits and vulnerabilities are put out there. I have 3 months to put it in, so I have 3 months I'm vulnerable. The day I finish it, on the third month, a new CPU with a new set of vulnerabilities come out. I'm in a state of never being secure. So we're really in a catch-22 where this just isn't a viable solution, what we're doing today. So
how do you think Oracle compares to IBM and Microsoft? I know you're familiar with cross-platforms. How does Oracle stack up with them as far as patching security vulnerabilities?
Oracle really has a very different strategy dealing with security research community than the other companies. Microsoft really has reached out to the security researchers and hackers to try to bring them into the fold. Oracle has a very different stance on that, so they have not been as proactive in that regards in terms of reaching out and helping fix those. So they still have a lot of work there to do.
Yeah, I haven't heard them say unbreakable much lately. So that's still, that slogan has gone by the wayside.
That really has gone, and that really was kind of the thing that pushed so many hackers into really going after Oracle, and that's why we're seeing all these vulnerabilities. It's really a product of that marketing effort, so it was a bad idea.
So what does application security's products offer that some of the Oracle products don't, that especially given the various companies that acquire to do encryption, for example?
Right. So what we really offer is threat management. So we don't offer security features that compete with what Oracle does. What we do is try to manage the threat, the way that people break into your database, help educate people about that, and provide tools to help you lock your databases down. So one tool we offer, App Detective, helps you find all the Oracle databases in your organization, inventory those, because you need to inventory them before you can lock them down, then help you lock them down, show you the type of things a hacker does to break in. These are not things that Oracle's ever going to do, and you know, it's not really part of the product. What it is helping you use the product in a secure way, as well activity monitoring, database auditing, providing knowledge about what are the type of attacks that go on, what's unusual activity, being able to record that. That's our product, App Radar, and then helping you, you know, kind of find that needle in the haystack of when something bad goes on. So it's really just managing that threat of the hackers, the bad guys, the disgruntled employees, and helping you do that in Oracle as well as the other database platforms.
So it works cross-platform, your products?
Yeah, it works against DB2, SQL Server, Sybase, and all the versions of Oracle. So Oracle's still our biggest platform, though. That's where we get most of our customers. So,
Do you see the upcoming development process of Fusion, big Fusion suite, decreasing security, increasing, more confusion?
You know, it's going to make a hard area even harder, because while it's hard to patch your databases, it's a lot harder to patch your ERP systems. So, telling somebody they have a patch, they need to apply a patch or they're going to get hacked, it becomes problematic with an ERP system because there's no way they're going to apply that patch with, well, it takes 3 months to apply a database patch. It's 6 months to a year to apply the ERP patch because you have to make sure that this patch works with this component, and it's just really, it's going to make it even more difficult. So, and as well, these are new systems that really haven't been vetted by the security research community. So there's going to be a whole new, anytime you introduce a new software product, it has to go through a kind of an evolution of, there's a bunch of really easy ways to break in, low-hanging fruit. It hasn't been through that vetting process yet, so it's going to be very problematic to deal with all that.
Have you heard anything about 11G yet? They're discussing, releasing details about that.
Other than the name, I haven't heard anything about 11G yet. I know they're starting to talk about a beta program. Haven't seen it yet myself, though, but it should be interesting. I'm sure it's not going to be called 11G by the time it comes out, but it will be interesting. We're talking about 11G. I still don't see that many people putting in 10G, so it's still in the early stages, so it seems we're going to be getting ahead of ourselves. But I guess they have to push forward, and so it makes sense. Maybe some people will just skip right from 9i to 11G. That would be interesting to see that jump. So,
got to keep selling those licenses. one final question. So, what are some of your pet peeves that DBAs do with security problems that DBAs do that are very simple that you see all time and time again?
The point is that the type of things that I still go around and see done in database are things that we can fix in 5-10 minutes. So that's the great news, because we can really improve our database security vastly by doing really, really simple things like changing default username and passwords. You think it's, that people couldn't really be that naive when they do that, but every big customer I go to, walk in there, run a scan, and I've never found one without instances of the database where DBSNMP with a default password of DBSNMP left on.
Scott Tiger.
Scott Tiger, you're starting to see less and less of, but you still see the DBSNMP. You still see OUTLN. You still see those type of passwords. We're not seeing a lot of the really bad ones like sys, change on install, system manager. Those are the big ones we saw 3-4 years ago. People have gotten around to changing those. They figured out that if you don't change those, you're in trouble. Scott Tiger. That's the other problem, is we also see DBAs kind of with a mindset of, Scott Tiger is not a privileged account, so why do I really have to worry about it? They can't do anything with that. Well, and that's what I do in my presentation, is go over how that's really a bad way to handle your security, because once somebody has that access, that first step into the database, then they use other vulnerabilities to elevate their privileges. So use a buffer overflow in a PL/SQL package or a PL/SQL injection in one of those packages. So the other thing is, don't take that mind, that frame of mind that, oh, it's not something I have to worry about because it's not a privileged account. You want to make it as hard as, you want to make the hacker's job as hard as possible. So change the default passwords, do those really easy things, even before you do, the patches, because that's what the hacker's going to go after, is your weakest point, and those default username and passwords are it.
Good advice, certainly. So what are some of the emerging categories of threats you've seen lately, like, Google hacking or something like that?
What we saw this summer at DEF CON was Oracle rootkits. Very interesting in that rootkits have been around for years in kind of the network and the operating system world. We're now starting to see them evolve. So there was actually, first Oracle rootkit was put out 2 years ago. This was a newer version that really was much harder to detect because it's memory resident rather than residing in the system tables. So we saw evolution there. We saw some researchers putting out some unwrapping PL/SQL packages. So if you're using that security to really protect yourself, you need to be worried too about people can unwrap those now. We're seeing, we saw some worms last year too for Oracle. So they didn't end up actually causing much damage because they really were proof of concept worms, but we saw some worms out there. So we're seeing lots of new areas that are not new at all to the security world, but they're very new to the database world. So I've always said database security is about 3 to 4 years behind where network and operating system security was. So if you want to know what's going to happen next year, look at what happened 3-4 years ago with network and operating system security, and that's what we're going to see this year is my best guess. So.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to chat. Good luck with your session tomorrow, and have a good week. Thank you very much, Aaron.